一度だけの恋なら君の中で遊ぼう、わがままなキスをしよう。
It's May 24th and episode 4 of Macross Delta has just finished literally about 34 minutes ago. Welcome to the latest episode of Speaker Podcast. We're here to talk about Macross Delta episode 4. This is Raw, everyone. We've just watched it. We don't have time to wait for no subs. And we're here to join this conversation and talk about this stuff as it's happening.
Yeah. So, I don't want no subs. A sub is a guy that won't let me. Oh, okay.
Thanks. So, on one side of this microphone, as you just heard the charming vocals of, I have...
Renato.
Hey there, Renato.
Yeah.
This is, of course, Gwyn Campbell, the host of the show. And next to me, we have...
Egan?
Who is our own, what did you call yourself last week? The mysterious Venus of the cast.
I'm ready that already. Yes.
From across the pond, we have the co-host of the show.
Adrian, who's suffering bad jet lag and no sleep and a cold, so I'll just primarily be listening in. But I did watch the stream, so I might have something to say if you guys miss it.
Cool. Thanks for calling in, Adrian. And also on the other side of the pond, we have...
It's Mike. How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on. It's nice to be actually on the show instead of just talked about as I was last week.
Yes, well, we want to give you a chance to defend yourself, Mike. Defend your honor, as it were. But
hey, Mike, how long will it take you to get to Whittier and bring me my beer?
That's going to take about 12 hours, so that won't be happening this time. Sorry.
So, Mike, I think you said you want to start off with a few corrections, because as we put in the disclaimer, we are going to probably make mistakes here, because we're doing this raw off the bat. We've only watched the episode once. What did we get wrong last week, Mike?
Well, just a few minor things. So I think there was one point you mentioned that it was Captain Johnson, who's obviously the captain of the Macross, Elysian. You said that he recruited Hayate, and it wasn't. It was actually Captain Mulders, Arad Mulders, if I'm not mistaken.
Wah, wah, wah.
Oh, wait, was that Renato?
I don't know what that was.
Renato, was that you? Oh, because you messed up too. But that's okay. I checked because I wasn't sure, actually, when you mentioned that the OPs were different. So, as of last week, only two had aired, and they are the same. So, it's just, as you know, as we watch the show, we start to notice new things every week as you start seeing the same thing over and over again. So,
basically, they spoiled it.
They did. They spoiled it from the very beginning. When you said, because I was listening to the cast last week, and you said, oh, they showed Freya's transformation. I'm like, they showed that last week. They kind of ruined it. They added a little bit more in. You saw, we'll get to that, but,
right.
Pretty much you see the whole thing, you know, in the OP, and you see Hayate in the Valk, which, I mean, you know, it's coming. So is it really a spoiler? But still, I mean, they showed it before it happened.
And Renato, before we get into the episode, we both had a bit of Macross Delta action happening this weekend before
Delta episode. Action.
Yes, Delta action, before the episode even aired.
Yeah, this weekend was a special, what do they call it? I've got this thing here.
It was a vaccination live, wasn't it?
That's what it was called?
They were making jokes about that. That's technically what the real concert in August and September will be. But
yeah. Well, anyway, so there was like a mini stage set up outside of Shibuya Parco. And Parco is like one of those really trendy department stores that they have for young people. So not us. But they did also have a couple of similar events tied into Macross there at that venue. Most notable, the 2012 Macross the Museum. Macross the Design is what it was.
Right.
The one where you walk in through the entrance of the Mega Road and it's like you're in the ship or whatever.
Right.
So it was cool to see Macross come back to that venue. It was a bit of a small stage, just a gathering of the usual suspects. So you went there yesterday.
I did.
And I went there today, so we didn't see each other or anything. How did you find it?
Well, I wasn't really sure what to expect. I knew it was just going to be some kind of promotional thing, that they were going to do some karaoke, that there was going to be a lucky draw. Nothing, you know, they didn't mention any guests of note. So I turned up there, met up with Hisame, and we went by. And it was fairly laid back. They had two sessions in the morning. One at midday, one in the afternoon. And the morning, they did karaoke for an hour, then from 1 o'clock, then from 2 o'clock they had the lucky draw, then it was a 1 hour break, then from 4 o'clock they had a second karaoke session and another draw session. So we're hanging around that department store for about 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, and in between they showed lots of clips, and they showed the first episode again, the broadcast, like the pre-broadcast, what is it? Like the not the 0.89 episode of Delta.
Right.
So lots of people gathered for that. That's kind of interesting.
Right, and in between, they're also playing. We had music playing, so they had like Planet Dance, a lot of Firebomber playing.
Yeah,
and the actual karaoke, I have to point out, it wasn't people getting up to sing. It was a bunch of artists who are kind of semi-professional karaoke singers, I guess. People who are trying to kick off a career. And we had some of these people come and sing at the Wonderfest stage show that we had as well. Mm-hmm. And one of them, for example, is this girl who was a winner of some Macross karaoke contest last year, and she's actually quite well known now. In fact, apparently the president of Big West has said that she's really good. And
what's her name? Likes her. Do you know?
Not off the top of my head, I have to go.
Well, is that the girl who sang the opening and the ending?
Yes.
Okay, because I wasn't very impressed with her. I'm sorry.
Really, I thought she was amazing. I mean, I
are you kidding? Worried.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, she does Junna, then she does Suzuki Minori. She, like, does them both really well.
Yeah, I guess so, but, I mean, it's not like she sounds like either of them, you know?
No, she sounds a little more mainish, actually.
If I could interject, Gwyn, is that who you posted the video of on Facebook?
Yeah, I did.
I have to disagree with Renato. I agree with you, Gwyn. I mean, I thought she was good, especially for being a quote-unquote amateur, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's not an amateur, though.
Well, I mean, doesn't cut albums or anything. Yeah, you know, she turns up at these events and she's won contests and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe she's got some like professional kind of training, but I mean, I'm an amateur and I have professional training, so I mean, there's levels of amateurness, I guess. But I don't know. I thought she was. I mean, for her range and for that being live, because you know, we haven't seen Junna sing live. If you guys have, I haven't.
Yeah.
I've only seen Minori sing live, and she was amazing. And this girl was just like a notch below her, in my opinion. So, I mean,
I'm not saying she was bad. I'm just not saying. I wasn't that impressed. Especially considering that this is something that I literally just read on Facebook just before we began this call. I left because I had something else to do, so in the middle of the concert, and they were going to have more people on, but I was like, okay, well, I need to go. 5 minutes after I left, apparently a friend of ours, Gwyn and I, and, you know, Adrian as well, of course, and actually, Mike, you might know her too. So this is a girl called Yurika that went to the karaoke kind of parties that you used to go to.
Yeah, maybe. I don't recall.
Were you there when I got up on stage with her and sang some Marvin Gaye song?
Oh my gosh, no! I would remember that.
Well, so I mean, she's a fairly good friend of ours, I think, and she's a really good singer. So I would have been really looking forward to that if I knew that she was going to perform, but I literally just read that she did that on Facebook. So
And we had a couple of male singers as well who both did Firebomber songs, and they were both pretty good. And
oh, really?
For yesterday, at least, both groups of singers were the same for each session, but they sang different songs each session, so that was kind of good. On the first session, we had a couple of cosplayers come, well, singers dressed as Cheryl and Ranka. And a picture is floating around on Facebook that they put up. And look, we'll get on to the episode now, but one thing I want to mention, that there was, the crowd was definitely bigger in the second session than the first. I don't know how it was today for you, Renato, but there was a fairly wide age range of people, despite the fact there was the usual hardcore fans that I always see everywhere. But Halfway through the gig, I noticed to my right there was a girl maybe 5 or 6 years old on her parents' shoulders, and she was throwing out Valkyrie signs. She knew her stuff, and she's yelling out, "Freya, Freya!" And the singers on the stage were like waving to her and laughing, and you could see, well, you know, they're making jokes. So here's the next generation. We've already got them hooked.
And yeah, but it's also disturbing because it means that 6-year-old girl stays up way past her bedtime to watch cartoons.
But anyway, well,
and wait, let me give the natural old taku response. And now you know the target audience for Macross Delta.
6-year-old girls. We want to be 6-year-old girls. There you have it on record.
So speaking, well, let's be 6-year-old girls, gentlemen. And let's get onto this episode because I was squealing like a little girl during several segments of this episode. Now,
what else is new?
Thank you, Mike. The name for this episode?
Shocking debut stage.
Right. And look, we thought this would be something slightly slower paced compared to last week with all its training montages.
I did
because I thought it would just be an idol audition, like her first concert. I thought we'd get good music. And, you know, I thought, well, if there's another attack, maybe it's too soon. Maybe it'd be repeated.
Have you ever seen Macross? Every time there's a stage concert, every single time, there is an attack.
Well, not every time, but I get your Frontier reference. I know, we know how much you love Frontier, Renato. But this episode was jam-packed full of so much information. It was kind of mind-blowing. I mean, Egan and I were sitting there just going, oh, and like trying to make notes. So we open up on Windermere, and you know there's the Aerial Knights are there. They're talking a bit, and a few things became clear. They obviously have a grudge against humanity, against Earth, and they also single out Valkyrie. So they talk about having this grudge against them. So something's happened in the past that they feel they need revenge for. And we then cut, you know, we go to the opening, we get into the beginning of the show, and it opens up into the welcoming party for Freya, the congratulation party for her passing her auditions. Now, by default, it's also kind of the welcome party for Hayate as well, but the sign at the front mostly says Freya. So it's really all about her. We get a little bit more character interaction, you know, we learn that, yes, Chuck's sister very much seems to have a thing for Mesa. His little brothers and sisters tend to mess up whenever she tries to hit on Mesa.
Well, they cockblock her, for want of a better word. Is there a word for
they pretty much women? They do.
And I just have to say I have a thing for Chuck's sister. So yeah, next to Machina, she's my number two.
I thought you'd say that somehow, Mike. I'm not surprised.
Well, I thought Gwen would say that she's the best girl because of the amount of alcohol she was drinking.
She was putting them away, you know. And we get to see the crew all, you know, being casual fairly early for the series. You know, I mean, Captain Johnson, he was pimping that white suit, you know, and
he looked like a gangster. And like, meanwhile, in another show.
And even Hayate had this, you know, white, was it a kind of open chest shirt, kind of in a way, had a really wide collar. You know, I was looking at this and thinking, all right, I can see what the next cosplays I'm going to see are.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You could pick them. Everyone's already saying it seems obvious that there should be something going on between Kaname and Arad. And so they're already putting that Wilder and... Who was it with Wilder? Was it Monica? No, yes. Oh, the whole Captain and Bridge Bunny thing already. And anyways, they have the party, and it's revealed that Freya's big debut concert will be on the planet Randall. So again, we're getting another planet already. And so they take off for Randall. How do they take off, Egan? How do they get to Randall?
We finally see how the ship takes off from the Macross Elysium and what they've been launching off all these times, both the Valkyrie and the Valkyrie.
Right. And it's the left arm of the Elysian. We know it's the Elysian now with an N because it's spelt on the bridge. It's up in a sign.
And we see that there's not the only ship there.
Right. So the left arm is called the Aether. It's an alternate spelling for ether. And we now know what that word means because people who have been listening to us may remember it was written on the tail of one of the Valkyries on that picture on the UDX building. And we've always wondered what it meant. And now we know. It means those planes are, you know, assigned to that carrier, which is the left arm of the Elysian. And it takes off, and the left and right sides of the deck kind of fold down, and the back boosters on the legs open up, and it becomes a really individual, separate-looking carrier, starship. It's cool. I mean, what did you guys think?
Yeah. I thought it was awesome. I mean, that was my first take. Oh, that's what it does. So, which makes me wonder, is the Elysian just, is it stationary, or does that whole thing take off eventually as well?
Right. Or,
you know.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, why do you even need the rest of the ship for now?
Well, for the big guns, I guess.
Literally. Yeah.
I was just thinking, how are they going to release this as a toy? Yeah, are they going to sell the arms separate to the rest of the ship?
like Voltron?
Exactly.
Collect them all?
Or it's going to be one heck of a big, expensive toy. But it takes off, and we see Hayate in the hangar gets introduced to his brand new 31. And he gets this little movie from Mike's favorite girl, and Reina. And they say, hey, Hayate, we know you hate you know, AI and automated interfaces and tutorials, as you showed last episode. So we've made this little movie to show you how the cockpit works. And it turns out that his helmet is part of the X-Gear system. So you know how people on some message boards I've seen complain that, oh, why aren't these pilots wearing their helmet? They're not very professional. Well, apart from a dramatic and visual standpoint, it's a lot easier to show emotions when people aren't wearing full head coverings. They now have the excuse of when they hit some action or fast speeds, the helmet automatically flips over from the back of the seat and covers them. And I think that's amazing. It's really cool. And it was all illustrated in a very cool, super deformed scene.
That was already part of Frontier, though. The VF-25s had that.
But we never had that explanation that it you don't need the helmet. You can have just that and still operate the Valkyrie just fine. So we have it, you know, spelled out for people, the naysayers.
But wait, everyone else has helmets.
But it's not necessary. That was the key thing about the explanation. Yeah,
right. So, you know, he can be, they're getting all these reasons for him to be a free spirit, I guess, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
So
I thought it was cool how they tied it in with the old, the weekly, was it? Back during
Super Dimension seminar.
Yeah, seminars is a little.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Basically,
yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah, I hope they do another set of shorts. I'd watch it because that was hilarious. We were laughing so hard the whole time. So they take off. Before they take off, we have to mention Naked Mikumo. it's getting more and more clear that even if she is human, she's in contact with someone who isn't, but it seems like she isn't human. She's butt naked and talking to the stars. It's very odd.
Yeah, and she doesn't hang out with everyone else. Like, she wasn't at the party.
No.
For that matter, she's not the only one that starts with an M that we also hear about with more mystery involved. Lady M... believed both who was it from the Delta team side I was talking about?
Wasn't it Kaname and Arad? What they
yes,
talking
Kaname.
About? Yeah, they mentioned Lady M.
And it was all about the fold reaction from both Hayate as well as Freya, and yeah, they're still monitoring what's going on over there. Something is up. They know something more than they're letting on to everyone else.
Right. They mentioned that Lady M apparently said, you know, they don't have time to wait for Freya's fold waves to stabilize, for it to become better at her ability. They've just got to get moving because they obviously know something is coming. Also revealed, as they're on the way to Randall, Freya's little thing that she was holding that I thought looked like a mobile phone but wasn't, it's basically an MP3 player. But she says she received it, like people on Windermere received these from the human fleets when they made first contact. And this was the first way they received music or ever got to hear human music. Mm. So this brings into the fore the fact that the Windermereans are a completely separate race. They aren't the result of inbreeding. And they had first contact with humanity. And they didn't have music, at least in a human music sense. And it was given to them by humans.
Which leads to another plot point, a bombshell that was just dropped in the middle of the conversation on board the ship. and you can go.
Yeah, it was mentioned that Windermerians apparently only have an average of a 30-year lifespan. Now, this would explain why most of the Aerial Knights are so young, although there's the scarred Helmer?
Master Herman.
Yeah, with his scarred face, and there's a couple of older-looking ones, so I'm not sure how exactly that's going to affect things, but yeah, apparently Windermerians do die young, which was, really short. I was just throwing
Freya,
out there.
Yeah, Freya has... It seems oblivious to the fact that anyone would be concerned about that, but Hayate was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Logan's Run.
Oh right.
Well, hold on now. Now regarding the music player that Freya had, are we going to get to the ultimate homage sequence?
Oh, tell us about it.
Yeah, Mark. I wanted to.
Oh man, I was just like fan service.
Yeah.
Because when she was talking about that music player, and obviously my Japanese is limited, but I could gather what she was saying. But it's always interesting to hear you guys like fill in the gaps. But, when she was talking about her music player, she was like, yeah, I got this from somebody. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but she was saying that it had music of Lin-Min-May, Firebomber, and Ranka and Cheryl on it.
Which prompted you to say in the middle of the episode.
So she was saying that basically, this is how we got introduced to human music, such as, Min-May and... Min-May and Firebomber and whatnot.
They were so cool that that's what she wanted to do with her life, right?
Right. And so they get to Planet Randall, and they have a shorter version of everyone's favorite transformation sequence as they all jump out of that shuttle that we saw in Episode 2. Freya is the last to jump, but apparently hits her gas jet clusters too late and... is the first to hit the ground somehow.
But survives.
And then falls flat on her butt in front of everyone. But it is a proper concert this time around. There were shades of Sharon Apple. There were shades of Cheryl. There were the holograms flying around, but more in a sense that we're kind of used to in Macross, I think.
Hang on, Gwen. So what's Freya's... Now, if like I'm watching the stream and it buffers a lot, but her... You know how they all have their thing, like music is whatever.
Uh-huh.
Did she say "Uta wa Genki"? Music is energy.
Well,
sort of. Yeah,
it's one way to translate it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, Genki has a different connotation. I'm just wondering how the fan subber is going to translate it. But I mean, Genki fits Freya's personality to a T. So.
Exactly.
Just like the rest of their catchphrases works well for each one of them.
Right.
Yeah. Good catch. So. They start this concert out, and we get a whole new song.
Yes. Which, strangely enough, people have pointed out, is actually heard in the last episode, but we didn't hear it sung. We heard it during the dance sequence, dance rehearsal sequence, last episode. Now we have the lyrics to it.
Okay.
Isn't that the song that Freya started to sing to kind of, give Hayate support? Or was it a different song?
There was two songs last episode. One of them was the one that was done during the dance rehearsal, but one of them was done during the final test. And that one was Bokura no Senjo, Our Battlefield. The new song, the song that we now hear with lyrics in this current
episode. That's right. There was a song that they were working out to, right? Where she couldn't get her fold wave going or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's why it sounded familiar.
Yeah.
And they also pointed out, because I think it was Hayate actually asked, why don't you guys just record these and play your music everywhere to stop the VAR? And they're like, no, it has to be live music. You can't transmit the same effect through a recording.
This was during the talk at the restaurant. And yeah, they did a lot of mini info dumps just to prep people up of what the world is and the setup of the Macross universe.
Right.
Yeah.
So they, in the middle of the concert, they are attacked by the Aerial Knights. But wait a minute, here comes the cavalry. Wait, it's a complete squadron of cannon fodder 171s who are, it turns out, susceptible, as are, it turns out, all humans, apparently, to the VAR syndrome. It doesn't just appear to affect Zentradi. The Aerial Knights have song jammers equipped to some of their little Draken drones, and they are blocking the transmission of the concert, the fold waves, the music. They even block the energy feed to the drones, or the drones collapse. So there's no defense against the VAR. Most of the pilots in the 171s from New UN Spacey turn against Welcure and start attacking them, which leaves the actual aerial knights to attack the Delta Platoon. And there's, you know, a big battle scene. You get Hayate fighting, and well, before he did that, though, he broke complete formation because they were supposed to be doing an air, like an acrobatic show during the concert, and he has to go and do his Immelman dance, and he's breakdancing all over the place in his mech and completely messing with Mirage. But when he's fighting, you realize the 31 has small pinpoint barriers, well, not so small, on its arms, like shields on its arms, much like Gold in Macross Plus, which I thought was a nice touch. So there's this battle, and then it gets serious, and you finally see the Draken transform. Who wants to talk about this?
I find it funny, Gwen, that both you and Adrian called it the sexy transformation. I was texting with Adrian, and he called it the sexiest transformation in Macross.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pretty much said the same thing on Facebook prior to the call. So I thought that was funny, but that's all I had to say. But I mean, I thought it was cool, but like I said, for me, it was buffering like crazy. So it was real choppy for me. So I'll have to watch the raw once it's available so I could see it all smooth and pretty like you guys did.
So I don't know, Egan, what did you think of the...
Couple things I saw was, if there was anything that it harkens back to, was the VF9 in terms of how the arm pivots around from the back. So one arm is in front of the other when it's transformed in fighter mode. And then you noted that there was some resemblance. We'll have to look into it further into some of the earlier mecha designs that were created for what would become Escaflowne. And the name for that earlier project before it became Escaflowne, coincidentally enough, Aerial Knights.
Right.
Huh.
And
interesting.
Anything else?
I know. Renato, what did you think of it?
Of the transformation?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I think you skipped a bunch of stuff.
Well, we can come back to it, yeah.
Okay.
I just want to get the episode synopsis over with.
Well, I'm actually watching it right now, frame by frame.
Which you know so many people are going to be doing for
the... Actually, we should be as well, actually.
It looks like it's going to be an extremely, extremely delicate toy.
It's exactly what I was thinking.
I do not want to transform this thing. There was an earlier
Valkyrie SV-51 that had those kind of flimsy-looking but cool-looking transformations.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was bad, but this is much, much worse. Like, the entire arm assembly is on one tiny, tiny... kind of pivot thing. That
exactly like the VF9.
It's kind of like the waist, that the joint that folds down on the VF4.
I do like the tail shield, where the tail folds out to become a standard-looking shield.
Yeah, that makes it look more like a knight. But I think for me, the most iconic part is like the chest part.
Oh, yes.
Because it's made up of what you think are going to be the shoulder armor. You know, on the sides of the VF-171, the shoulder armor is basically just the side of the plane, right?
On the sides of what would be the intakes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So those come together to form like a kind of breastplate. So it's very, very strange and gives it all a kind of medieval feel.
Mm. And a coat of arms. And, yeah, it just gives it a complete medieval knight look.
Yeah. But yeah, let's...
Well, can I
stuff that happened before?
Yeah, no, we'll get to that. Because there's three points maybe I want to make before we can jump back. First of all, the funny thing is, you know, we actually see the Batroid in a scene before the transformation. Because it turns out that this whole attack has been a decoy operation by the Aerial Knights, and that Windermere has occupied the planet Ragnar while this attack was going on.
Wait a minute. This is Future Gwyn here, calling in from a hole 24 hours in the future. Of course, I got that little detail completely wrong there.
It wasn't the planet Ragna that was occupied at all. It was a new planet, and it appears to be pronounced something like the planet Vodor. Sorry about that mistake. As we say in the beginning of these GoTalk podcasts, these are done raw, and often we do make mistakes. Normally I won't bother interjecting like this from the future. However, this seemed to be a fairly significant mistake, and we didn't want anyone to come away with any misunderstandings about what had happened in episode 4 of Macross Delta. And with that, back to the episode. Hi-ya!
So in that scene, I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, wait, what are those Valks? I've never seen those Valkyries before.
Yeah, because you see one shot of the occupation with Batroids in shadow around the Elysian, or at the base of the Elysian, and now we know what they were. You got to wonder what squadron was on the other arm of the Elysian and what they were doing all this time.
We also know that there's more to the Aerial Knights than the six that we've been seeing all along.
Yeah,
not the Aerial Knights, the Kingdom of Wind. We don't know who are these other squadrons are, if they're a different squadron.
I mean, then there was at least one 31A on that deck, so I don't know what it was. Oh, where were the V1 EXs with their paintball guns? I'm sure they were really useful. And then the last thing I want to mention, Renato, before I wind up the synopsis, the final scene ties back to something I skipped in the beginning, which was King Hinds is, or the boy King Hinds is singing at the beginning, and it's mentioned that his song is reverberating, is activating with
ruins,
protoculture ruins, I believe. Well, they didn't say protoculture.
Yeah, they just said
Ishii. They just said ruins, but. And I immediately was like, wait, songs activating ruins? This has shades of Macross 30 on the PlayStation 3 all over.
Haruka Tesuga!
You read my mind, Renato. Thank you. And so this ties up to the very end of the show where, during this attack, the dragons transform and Royd is projected on an almost Hatsune Miku projector where the dragons do a smoke screen so they can project his image onto it. And he declares that Windermere is declaring war against UN Spacey, and they mentioned protoculture ruins in this. He said basically for the king and to cause the great wind, and with the protoculture ruins, they are declaring war against UN Spacey. And that's where it ends. Basically, it's a state of war with Ragna being occupied and with apparently protoculture ruins which react to song.
Does he not mention Freya as well at that point? Or
No, Freya mentions him.
He recognizes. She's not the only one that recognizes. One of the other pilots, was it Messer or Ara, specifically called him out as the Aerial Knights. He recognized who they were.
Oh, once they showed the logos on their planes, he knew who they were. Freya recognized him as what's she calling? Well, she said Heika, didn't she? She's a king.
She said Denka.
Denka. Oh, thank Highness, right?
Yes.
As in, yeah, she recognizes him as royalty.
As royalty, right. And one other minor thing I kind of missed. It seemed that Messer was almost being influenced by the VAR syndrome during
but
the
He shook it off by himself, that nobody sang to him or anything like that, if I'm not mistaken, right?
It seemed that way, or maybe he just manned up, you know. Maybe he's like the guy in Carbonelli. Yeah. just manned it up.
Oh, you want to do a show about that?
We should. But anyways, all right, sorry, guys. That's my not-so-brief synopsis. Thoughts, points I've missed, jump into it.
One thing that was mentioned right after the episode aired, now that the Macross Twitter account is active again, is they've revealed finally who the singer was for Hinds. All the singing that the ethereal Macross 2-esque emulator-style music is by someone named Melody Kubok. And she has actually been heard before in anime, Plastic Memory. She sang some songs for that. And now know she's going to be also on the soundtrack, which, as they announced during this episode, is going to be out on June 22nd.
Guys, thoughts?
First of all, let me just say that this show gets better and better with every episode.
It surprises us. Things that we... it would do a quick veering of the plot and surprise us in things that we didn't see coming this early on in the series.
Yeah, every episode ends with some kind of spectacle. You know, even the last one, which was more about just training, I remember a lot of people were really complaining about the training episodes of Aquarian, but I thought they were missing that was the whole point of the show. And that was kind of an episode, that was kind of a similar thing last episode. This episode was more story-driven, trying to move the plot forward, but it still ends with some kind of visual spectacle. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great. And I want to say one more thing. Character development-wise, Freya, we know her as a real super Genki girl. I think a lot of that might be an act. In much the same way that Mike was saying that the voice actress herself, when she was crying on stage, was putting on an act. You know, it's funny how that might actually be what Freya is going through right now, as we had that scene where they weigh the real heaviness of the truth about Windermerian life expectancy.
You're not saying she's a sleeper agent, are you? Or maybe. We'll see what happens.
This isn't Schwarzenmarken. No Mav love here.
So, you do get a lot of German in here, though.
So, Renato, in what sense are you saying that? Oh, here's the announcement for the soundtrack. I just pulled it up. Yeah, it was just in text at the bottom of the screen, right, Ian?
Yeah.
June 22nd.
So it's going to have the music that we have yet to hear, as well as tracks we've just heard in this episode.
Okay, well, let me cancel my order for the single then.
Oh, it may not have, like, you know how the singles have different variants as well as alternate songs? It will still have something for you over there. Presumably. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So, Renato, was there any other points you want to bring up?
No, well, there was one thing which kind of, it's just a nitpick, but when the VAR syndrome broke out in this episode again, like it has done many times, and they're trying to calm down the UN Spacey pilots this time using the power of song, Hayate is there in the corner going, oh my god, they're curing them with the song. I've never seen this before. And I'm like, really? You have seen it before. It was like a major moment in your life, dude. I'm not sure why he's so surprised. I mean, that's the point of Valkyrie, right? Why is anyone surprised watching this right now in 2016? It's Macross. That's what happens.
Don't go all metal on us, Renato.
No, I mean, Kawamori says that. He says that's why he put what usually would be at the climax of every Macross show at the front of this one.
Hmm.
Because he knows the audience knows it and expects it and wants to
exactly,
be
right.
It.
So we had that in the first episode and the second one. Why are we doing it again in the fourth? Why is he surprised? That was such a small nitpick, and I'm really expanding it into this huge thing, making a mountain out of a molehill. But that just goes to show how good the episode was overall.
Right. It just kept those beats coming. The pace of it seemed so fast, because even at the beginning during the banquet in the Ragunyanyan, there was just so many bits and pieces of information to pick up, you know. But
Ragunyanyan, here's one information to pick up. Do you know, like, they use kanji for that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and it's eating naked, nyanyan. the two daughters eating naked. There you go.
Well, yeah, if Chuck named the place, does that really surprise anyone?
Well, it might surprise that 6-year-old girl that was singing the songs this morning.
Mike, any thoughts?
Yes. Let's see. Well, first, just some odds and ends. Back at the drinking party at the beginning, little things that I noticed that they kind of, stuff I appreciate where they mention stuff and they show it, like, later. So they showed Reyna sitting there, and she was very content eating her raw jellyfish, like she mentioned in the first episode.
Everything's already tying back in, isn't it? Like all yeah. those bits and pieces.
Yeah, which I thought that was hilarious. And if I'm not mistaken, didn't Chuck say he was going to make banana sake and something, some kind of other dish along with it? Jellyfish sashimi, right?
Right.
And they were eating that.
They were.
Yeah, so... just kind of cool how it all ties back in together. Machina's instructional video was hilarious.
Right.
Kind of to riff on what Renato said earlier about Freya's debut and how she was, quote, faking it, I thought it was funny because I drew correlations to – because, you know, we Gwen and myself and Adrian and Egan, we went to the episode premiere, the movie premiere, or the TV show premiere in the movie theater, right, where they had the cast. And, you know, they introduced Minori and stuff like that. And I remember thinking, wow, Freya's introduction and Minori's introduction were very, very similar. It's just Freya was more nervous, obviously, because it's anime. But I'm like, wow, they like really parallel each other. So I thought that it just kind of reinforced that the casting of Minori was like perfect for this role that.
And it calls back to the previous Macross.
I dropped the mic. Sorry about that. Oh. But yeah, I thought it was like perfect for this role of Freya. You know what I mean?
And it calls back to the previous Macross projects, such as Minmay, where Maria Jima auditioned herself by using giving her own song and then becoming just like the singer-songwriter that Minmay is. And Megumi Nakajima making her debut in much the same way that her character did in Macross Frontier. I guess it's that continuing the legacy of, you know, taking the character and referencing the real life singer behind that character,
which is really cool. I think that's just a cool little thing. It's pretty much I also agree that every week, you know, it's getting better. You know, like the first thing after watching 0.89, it was kind of mentioned online. It kind of was the running joke. It felt like what we were going to call it, Macross Glitter Force, you know, and I was just hoping that it wasn't going to be that. And it really as it gets its legs under it, it's starting to get a nice balance of story, mecha, and the Wall Cure stuff. And the Wall Cure stuff, I find myself enjoying more and more as the weeks go on. So
yeah, I like the new song. How would you compare the new song, which it's called Fukakute Se Cosmic Movement, Uncertainty Cosmic Movement. What do you guys think of it? That will be Freya's new song that she's sang today.
I mean, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was about Dad and Ikenai Borderline are now what I consider my favorites right now.
Wow.
But that song was first sung by Mikimo, and then it was a duet, right?
Are you talking about the one that debuted last week?
Well, no, the one in this episode, like Mikimo started singing it, and then Freya came in and it turned into a duet. Is that the same song?
Yeah, that's the same one that they were using for the training last week.
Right.
For the final exam, I mean.
But, well, in this one, they got attacked, so it turned out to be mostly a duet. I'm not sure whether it was supposed to be that way, but it worked really well as a duet, and they played off each other really well.
Yeah.
In terms of animation, the 2D animation wasn't as much at the forefront this episode because it was more mecha-focused. But mecha-wise, I must admit, I think they got the action down even better than last episode, because you remember I had some qualms about some of the lack of heft, of weight, of physics that some of the maneuvers seem to exhibit. But this time around, I had no qualms at all. The action flowed well. It seems several notches above what we saw in episode one. It was choreographed well. You could see what was going on. There was a lot of variety in the action. And if this is only episode four, I mean, wow. Either we're in for a real treat moving forward, or it's going to get really repetitive really quickly.
And do we know how many episodes the series is yet?
Well, all we know is going by Amazon, which has listed 9 Blu-rays, and the first one is 3 episodes, so if that's the case, we're looking at up to a maximum of 27 episodes.
All right. That's a good size. I mean, that's a good half a year there.
Yeah.
We also have a sense of that they're doing a concert afterwards around the fall time frame, I think it is, of the Valkyrie, the first concert.
Well, there's a mini concert coming up next month.
And then the full concert.
And then the full concert is, they're doing three of them, and they're spanning late August to early September.
So we got a good sense of where they're pacing things out.
Right. Which I am actually crazy enough considering a turnaround trip to Tokyo just to see a Walk Here concert.
You did come here for episode two, so.
That's right, Egan.
Well,
come here every week.
Why not?
We will secure your ticket if you're going to do that, Mike. I got to say, I've already gotten myself a ticket. I was lucky enough, I won the fan club draw. I know some of our correspondents down at Osaka have also gotten the ticket. So, yeah, I'll keep an ear to the ground, Mike, so let me know if you're going to drop by.
Yeah, definitely. We'll talk more about that, but I'm like 90% yes.
But at this rate, you know, we're up for a heck of a lot of songs, you know. And one last point.
Yeah. The guy, the host of the stage show earlier today said that because the karaoke show was an advert for Joy Sound, the karaoke place. So he said that even though there's only four episodes out at the time, there was only three episodes out at the time this afternoon. He said there's already five songs in karaoke,
and there's more. Yeah. That's not counting some tomorrow. Of the new ones that we just got introduced, like Boku Sango and Cosmic Movement one.
Yeah, some of those will be coming out like from tomorrow.
Wow.
On karaoke.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, yeah, and they also changed... So they used the hologram system during the concert to change costumes again into something decidedly more idol-ish. But as I said, we did get the transformation animation again. It was shorter this time around, and I guess because it was planned, it was a planned concert and them dropping in, it seemed less outrageous this time around, to me at least. I mean, what did everyone else think?
I think we're now getting used to the whole the conceit of this expansion of the Macross universe, so we're now more accepting of it.
It did seem more, I agree with you, Gwen, it did seem more like not as... much of a, I mean, it was a spectacle in the fact that it was a concert, but people were there expecting it. So it wasn't like this, oh, drop in and where are these people coming from nowhere type, you know, that's what it felt like. But again, it could be what Egan's saying too, is just that we're used to Walkure now, so it's whatever.
That could be it too, definitely.
I like the choreography and the dancing.
As in the girls or the vows?
Yeah, the girls. Well, both.
No. God, I hate... That's the only gripe that I have.
Really?
What is the tactical advantage reason for dancing Valkyries? What is it?
You're doing that. Okay.
There isn't.
Thank you.
Well,
the enjoyment of the show, but heaven forbid.
Don't mind the girls. Don't mind anything. But, like, especially in Point 89 in Episode 1 where the Valkyries come in and then they do that whole little, like... Johnny's dance where they do the little swoop and then they transfer to Gerwalk mode and take off. No. Stop. Anyway, sorry.
Well, you just can't rein Hayate in. Yeah. But
if we were watching everything for the tactical significance, we wouldn't be watching Macross.
Yes, I know. It's just a small gripe, but I love the show. It's just...
Well, were you being serious?
I was being serious, yeah.
I thought you were doing a bit. I thought you were like one of those YouTuber guys.
No, man. Like, I love the show. I love everything about it. But when I see it, just it's like when I see the Gerwalks doing, when I see the Valkyries doing something that. When I see them doing something that has no tactical purpose. No tactical purpose. I get pissed. I'm like, why are they doing that?
Gwen, you have to title this episode
that time.
Fan reaction to episode 4 of Delta. Oh my god, what am I watching?
Wow. You serious? After watching Frontier and Alto doing all the geisha poses with the, you know, gun pod and stuff.
I've got even age.
You've seen it already.
I don't know what it is about this show. Maybe because they're all doing it in unison and it was just Alto doing it by himself. I don't know.
Well, this time around, it was really all just Hayate doing it by himself. No one else was dancing.
No. The first time was in Point 89 where all the... Oh, well, I guess what you're saying with his work mech, sure.
I mean, in this episode, there was no choreographed Valk dancing. He spontaneously burst into dance.
Yes, that's true. And like I said, that still bothers me, but whatever.
So you don't spontaneously, you know, burst into dance, Mike, ever? I mean, doesn't.
Only Adrian knows, only at certain times when certain songs come on.
Speaking of which, Adrian, I know you're a bit under the weather, but any thoughts on this episode, like visually or just pace-wise? I don't know.
Visually, I thought it was the best-looking episode, especially like all the hangar scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, a lot of people don't understand that, you know, this show's got a little bit of love in the production. Otherwise, you wouldn't even be getting half those, like, good shots.
Mm.
So it's really, for me, I get really upset when even you, Gwen, when you start pointing out, like, oh, that scene from above, the battlefield, that just was like, oh, God, took me out of it. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's a series. It's not a movie. But, and knowing what's going on in the production, it's like we're getting a lot of extra work at, like, no cost. But anyways, I thought the episode was pretty good, and the whole ether when it detaches, that was a really cool scene, and like they had the little, you can see like the birds flying off of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was really well done.
Yeah.
And I guess it's kind of like their Partridge Bus, you know, for better or worse. Because they're taking him out on tour. I think that's why it detaches. I'm pretty sure it's a fully functional Macross ship, and I've heard on the forums, or read on the forums, that people are thinking it's quarter size. I think that's a lot bigger than a quarter. So
I think I said that as well, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really see a difference. Well, with this show, it seems like Satellite is trying to make it not feel like a Satellite show at this point.
How so?
It's because there's so much going on. This episode had fan service for everybody. And not just fan service, but just the pacing was really good. And a lot of Satellite shows, they're really slow, especially if you watch Aquarion or, yeah. So it doesn't feel like I'm watching a Satellite show other than it's Macross.
Hmm.
Let's see what else was there. With the whole, Mike says how he doesn't like the dancing stuff, but as I was watching it, I was literally thinking, how long before Blue Impulse starts getting an idol group to perform while they're in the air doing aerial acrobatics, and having an idol group performing on stage at like an air show in Tokyo? And anybody that doesn't know what Blue Impulse is, they're basically Japan's equivalent of the Thunderbirds or the Blue Angels.
Mm-hmm.
So I can totally see that eventually happening.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. They already use like idols, cute girls and stuff for recruitment in the JDSF. So,
yeah. Well, go ahead.
So overall, I thought it was really cool. And yeah, when we got to the Draken transformation, I said it's, you know, the sexiest transformation in all of Macross.
And why did you think that? I mean, the 2SS might be listening.
Oh boy. We all know the transformation scenes in that isn't all that good.
I should be recording this. Oh, wait, I am.
I think it's just the overall design. It's a really different design. It's kind of like the first time you saw the Konig Monster transform. It's so different, but it's a new transformation that has three modes. It's getting away from the typical VF1 form, you know, type transformation. So I thought it was one of the best transformation scenes.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it works when they speed it up more.
But I thought it was a good episode, good installment. Mm. Yeah, I think it has something for everybody that, you know, wants to see where the show's going.
Well, one thing I'm looking forward to that I'll just finish out here tonight is that at the Valkyrie concert, everyone had these glow sticks, which were these big light-up W's, Valkyrie marks.
When's that? You know that's going to get sold, right?
Exactly, yeah. Mark. You know we're going to be buying those at this concert in September. Yeah. We're going to have to get some photos, you know, carrying these things.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And on that note, look, guys, thank you for your time tonight. We've certainly gone over time. I'm going to have fun editing this, but hopefully it will be up very soon.
Hold up one sec, Gwen. So the name of this episode was, Egan?
Shocking Debut Stage.
Right. And the name of the next episode coming up is?
Gecko No Dancing, Moonlight Dancing.
All right. Cool.
All right.
Back to Gwen.
Yeah, thanks, Mike, and thanks for joining us, guys. And until we're moonlight dancing next week, this is the Gurr Talk segment of Speaker Podcast, folding out.